Welcome back in time to the HOW Conference. And we have with us, I have Donovan Beery here. I have with me my co-host, Ben Luter. Ben.
Hello, everybody.
And we've brought in two guests here, both speakers at this conference. Stefan Mumau, who's been on the show before.
What's up?
And Mel, I'm going to pronounce your name incorrectly.
It's only five letters. It's pretty easy. It's phonetic. Go ahead.
Melissa Morris Ivon?
Yes. Ivon. It's like iPhone, but it's with like a V.
Ivon. See, I said Ivon. Oh, see, I already messed it up. I thought that you would be silent.
That's fine. That's
you can just refer to her as Miss Operation Nice.
Yes.
Yes, and that is how our guests may know her, as Miss Operation Nice. And I appreciate that everybody is dressed in full revolutionary garb to record this show, including ourselves with powdered wigs, in support of the closing party that Nina is throwing in like 3 or 4 days.
I'm not used to seeing you with hair. It's really quite glorious.
Yeah. Yes. And we also have full... Tell you what, getting the muskets through airport security was worth it for the look of the costume.
Absolutely.
True, although I'm having a little discomfort now from where I was hiding it.
Joking aside, I did accidentally smuggle a knife on board. It was on my keychain, a little Swiss Army knife, and they never caught
it. Really?
So, yeah, just so you know.
Good thing you're not a terrorist.
Do not try this at home, listeners.
But you can try it at the airport.
No, do not also try this at the airport. This is not...
None of those listen to your show.
Yes. Now, Mel, you are best known as Operation Nice. Operation Nice, I originally met you a few years ago at the HOW Conference, and you were just handing out stickers that just said, I'm a nice person.
Yes.
And somehow, I got one anyway.
You did. And I didn't revoke it like I did with Steve.
Tell us the story.
Steve was not acting very nice. We actually went out to, it was in Austin, and we went to the Fridays. And he made a little crack at our hostess, so I... promptly went up to him and ripped his sticker right off his shirt.
Yeah. And of course, we're talking about Omaha's Steve Gordon, who has been on the show countless times, at RDQLUS1.
We really need to have like Amy Reyes be Operation Mean, so that there can be some sort of...
Yes.
Like, if someone says something mean after being given Operation Nice's sticker.
No, the Operation Nice is just... Is it OperationNice.com?
It is.
Still. And it's Twitter at Operation Nice. How long have you been doing the Operation Nice?
I started it in July of 2008. However, I'm currently on hiatus with my blog.
I was going to ask you about that. I was just seeing that. And I was like, what does that mean? Are you no longer nice? Like,
No,
seem nice, but I don't know if you're going to change that up on us.
No, as my Twitter profile currently reads, I'm still nice. I'm just focusing on new things in my career that are sort of taking the time away from my extracurricular activities. So I've been saying it's not dead, it's just in a coma, and I'm hoping that it will revive at some point, but I just need to focus on a few other things right now. So
can you talk about those other things, or is this kind of top secret?
I think that's her topic that she's going to speak about, which we'll discuss next. But first, I mean, what was the idea behind the Operation Nice, and what do you all do to promote it?
So people are kind of jerks sometimes, right? So one day in July 2008, I was having a really crummy day and somebody was being not very nice on the highway. So I went to work and I was in a really terrible mood and I was waiting for an elevator and this guy was waiting with me. And when the doors opened, I like paused to let him go because I'm nice and I let other people go first. And he went up to the door and held the door open and like motioned for me to go in. And then when we were in the elevator, he like joked like, you didn't think I was going to go in here first, did you? And I was like, well, you never know nowadays. Like people are kind of not nice. And we made small talk and talked about the weather. And then when I got off the elevator, he told me to have a really nice day. And I was in a good mood. I was like, wow, that one person ruined my mood this morning, and this guy totally changed my mood. Why don't people do little things like that? Like, it didn't require a lot of effort on his part. All he did was say something nice to me, and I was feeling so much better. So I was like, somebody needs to tell the world about this little fact.
Doing nice things.
So I did the only thing I knew how to do, which was start a blog, and...
And give out stickers. Which is your way of telling people to have a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to bring a smile to people's faces.
And I love how it caught on, too. Like, I mean, people genuinely want that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people genuinely recognize nice. That's kind of where our society's gotten. Now nice is unusual.
Right.
You know? And I just love how it caught on. And everyone that comes around Mel, she knows that she's not only nice, but incredibly talented at what she does. Aww. And she's got
saying, you guys trying can't to get a see sticker, aren't you?
I'm trying to get a sticker. You can't see, them. Tear? You can't see them on the radio.
See, I was purposely not caring if I was nice or not because I thought she wasn't giving out stickers because she was on a hiatus.
Do you have the stickers? I actually don't have the stickers. I'm sorry.
See, that's
you can still be nice, though.
But yeah, we're building our brownie points. You, the radio, it's not even radio. The audio can't see it. I know. The audio can't see it, and I don't know if you're ever going to get to it, but have you asked her about her tats?
No.
You haven't asked her about her tats?
Are they? Do you have Operation Nice tattoos?
They're not.
I saw those.
I did tweet them.
On Twitter.
Those are sweet.
They're handwritten words.
Yes.
And they say create and inspire. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That is correct.
Very nice. Did you hand letter that?
I did not. I let my tattoo artist do it because I did not trust myself to do something that I would like for an extended period of time.
And they're on her wrist, which is helpful because when she's wearing the full revolutionary garb with the puffy sleeves, you can still make them out.
Right, exactly.
I like it. I really like it.
Awesome.
How did you decide on
my
those
tattoos.
Words? I mean, I don't have any tattoos. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends. I hardly have any friends that don't have tattoos nowadays. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like I could never narrow it down to one or two words that I would want on my body forever.
Right.
So how did you get
there? I did think about it for a really long time. Like, I sat on it for about 3 or 4 years before I actually did it because I wanted to make sure that it was something that I'd be okay with having for the rest of my life. And I wanted create. It actually started back maybe like 8 years ago. My boss at the time gave me a Christmas present, and it was like a cuff bracelet, and it had the word create on it. And I really liked it because I would wear it on my right hand or my right arm, and while I was working, like, I would notice it, and it would kind of be like my reminder to always be creating. And so I really liked that. So I thought, oh, if I ever get a tattoo, I'd really like to do that. And then I was working on, instead of doing New Year's resolutions, I like to do New Year's mantras. And a couple years ago for Operation Nice, I did one that was create and inspire. So I always thought that would be really great to like permanently remind myself to always create and inspire. And I really hope that when I'm 70 years old, I will still want to do both of those things. But I guess I could like turn them into flowers or something if I don't want to.
You know, how'd your mom take it?
She was very upset. Mm. She did not totally approve. I had to warn her beforehand. Mm.
I assume
it wasn't the subject matter. It was more that you just got a tattoo.
Yes, yeah. My mom actually, when I was a senior in high school, I got a henna tattoo, and I thought she was gonna jump out the window. She freaked.
And henna tattoo just lasts for what, like 10 days?
Or? Yeah, okay. It was nothing, and she didn't. She thought I like permanently branded myself, and I thought she like was on the floor and wailing, and it was really kind of embarrassing for her. So I knew that she was not going to like this, even though I'm in my 30s and I'm a grown woman. I had to prep her on the phone. I was,
you know,
like,
she loves you.
Yeah, she doesn't want to look at them, so I have like wristbands that I can sport.
It's a good thing you didn't go with the neck tattoo.
Exactly. Exactly. You know. And I was going to do her face, but she still said.
Whoa, I love mom. Right on the side.
Yeah.
Stefan, let's talk about your tattoos.
My tattoos.
Are they
existent? I have no tattoo. I have always wanted to get just a dot. Like on my hand.
So you can say,
no, listen, I'm tatted.
I thought that was my idea. I was joking around. My wife got a nose ring a few weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. A little shy of a sleeve, but close.
Yeah, you know, almost a full sleeve, but only with like a dot.
It's a star.
Yeah. Or do a teardrop just to see people like, you're in jail? What are you in jail for?
That's excellent.
We actually have one of the best tattoo shops in the city. They share the parking lot with the building that our office is in, and we also have like four bars or places that serve alcohol right there. So mm-hmm. I keep proposing that, you know, Friday after lunch, it's get drunk and go get random tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's a wait list at this place, and unfortunately, Ben keeps saying no.
We would have to be drunk for 7 months to be able to get in there and have this happen.
And this
is a
problem because
the money.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Random Friday tattoos.
Random Friday tattoos.
Well, you know, tomorrow's Friday.
I don't think they serve alcohol in this city, unfortunately.
Boston is a dry county.
It is a dry county.
And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Reflex Blue Show. Mel, you are actually speaking at this HOW conference, or in this case, have already spoken at this HOW conference. What is it that you are talking about in particular? It's about sucky jobs?
Yes, my topic is how to survive your soul-crushing day job.
Well, that's positive.
Yeah, it's it actually is very positive. It's about finding creativity in your life when you might not work in a creative 9-to-5.
And if I remember right, Nate told me a lot, like last year he said you spoke to him, you know, kind of off camera and stuff about you were in a soul-crushing, sucky job.
Yes, very true. For 10
Tell us
years.
More.
10 years I started my soul-crushing day job in June of 2002 and kind of got stuck there and didn't leave. And, you know, there are certain benefits that come with some soul-crushing day jobs. Like maybe the creative work wasn't there, but, you know, you have a lot of superficial stuff like a steady paycheck and a nice office and 4 weeks vacation time, and sometimes it can be hard to give that stuff up. So
and I'm assuming there were, most of the time there are, even if you don't like the job, there might be people that you work with that you, if you work there 10 years, that you become close with, you don't want to necessarily leave them. There
Absolutely.
Are I understand why people don't just leave jobs even if they don't like them.
Right, right. And I mean, I have things like a mortgage and stuff, you know, so I can't exactly be like well, the reason why I came up with this idea was because, you know, I was talking with Nate about it, and I was trying to think of what, if I were to give a talk, what am I good at? Like, not to be self-deprecating or anything, but when I see these HOW conferences, like, the people are pretty fantastic, okay? So I'm like, I'm not going to compete with that. But what I can do is I can survive my soul-crushing day job. So
And come up with the title for the best talk at the conference. I mean, I think you win that one.
I can say that there will be some entertainment in my presentation. It will hopefully be.
This all sounds very relevant to me because I'm currently in the middle of a soul-crushing day job where Donovan at 11:19 forces me to play with Legos and buys me iPads, and it's pretty much most horrendous.
Oh my gosh, how do you do it?
I don't know. Well, I'm looking forward to your talk.
Okay,
so.
Good.
Yeah, great. Now he's going to leave.
Well, that's not my point. My point isn't to leave. It's that sometimes you need to do certain things, and maybe now is not a good time to leave your job because you have two kids or you have, you know, other things going on. And you know, I come to HOW and all of these people always say, you know, if you're unhappy with your job, just leave and find something better, and you can do better, and don't be unhappy. But being homeless is not really something that I would like.
It's not always that easy.
Yeah, exactly. So while you're in that situation, there are things that you can do to kind of make yourself creatively fulfilled.
What is one of these things that you can tell us that...
Okay, so one of my points is that you should join a gang.
Okay,
what's this guy?
Not like the Bloods or Crips or anything.
Well,
sorry.
Like
Stefan was trying to find an easy tattoo to get.
That would have been much, much easier.
Your teardrop would have.
The seat would have fallen right in line. You're right.
Yeah, so it's, you know, to form like a creative posse, because I know that for me, I was the only designer at my soul crushing day job, and I didn't have people that could relate to me, and I didn't have people I could go to for advice or people I could learn from. So forming that sort of community around you, which I've been able to do, thankfully, through HOW and HOW Design Forum and a lot of the people that I met, it was really important for me to become a better designer. So I think it's, like, very important.
So can you throw out some gang signs or some gang name members, you know, shout-outs?
I'm doing my gang signs right now.
Okay. I mean, can you give shout-outs to your gang members? Who's in the Mel Posse?
So who I mentioned in my talk, actually, Amy Reyes, who we discussed. Mm-hmm. She's part of my posse. And Maria Singleton. We are known as the Impenetrable Force.
Are all three of you here?
Unfortunately, no. Maria couldn't make it this time.
Oh.
So Amy and I are slightly penetrable.
Okay.
That doesn't come out right, does it?
No.
We'll have to cut that out.
We'll edit that out.
Okay.
Sure we will. We think we know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then also who I met from the HOW Design Forum back in the day, Devin Speck and Joby Wolf. We like email regularly. They're like my coworkers because they know who I work with. They know the projects I'm working on. We talk every day. So it almost feels like they're part of my team, which is really nice.
And then from this, you have actually left your soul crushing job over the last year, from what I understand.
Yes. So thanks for ruining the end of my talk. Hopefully people like the talk's been this. Oh, the talk's
been done. Been over for like a week.
And it's
2 weeks.
And it went great, didn't it?
We've even been back in Omaha and recorded a show with James Victoria in between.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yes. Yeah, so surprise, I left my soul crushing day job on February 24th, 2012. I was there for 9 years, 8 months, and 19 days. and I finally was able to leave.
You couldn't hold out for the 10, experience. Huh? You
no.
just couldn't do it.
I know, and you know what? We get like a bonus at 10 years, and my one friend was like, you should totally wait. I'm like, hell no, I'm not waiting. Oh,
good for
it's
you.
Not worth it.
Do they know that you've thought of that job as soul crushing?
Oh, or? Yeah. I made it known. They know. I mean, it was hospice pharmaceutical management. It was not exactly something that they, I'm sure they knew that it was not every designer's dream.
Got it. So, what
no,
are you doing?
I'm pretty
what are you
sure
doing now?
That's my dream right there.
Yeah.
Pretty
you
sure.
Should just trade it with him. Yeah. I could be working for you right
hospice
now.
Hospice pharmaceutical Hospice is an exciting industry.
It's a party.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
It's a dying industry.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah.
also true. And sad.
Yeah. And they probably don't let you use that in the collateral, will they?
No, they won't. I tried so many like goofy things like that. They did not have a sense of humor about the hospice world. They were not into that.
So what are you doing now?
So now I work for a tech startup, which is really exciting.
Oh, that's the extreme.
Yeah, exactly. So I went from like being in my beige tower to being in like this tiny room with three dudes where we like share this bathroom that's like right there so we can all hear each other pee. And I'm still not totally used to that part, but yeah. It's kind of awesome.
Do you ever think
it.
Of like a white noise machine?
Yeah, I thought
play
about
the music
that.
Louder.
I'm comfortable, you know. I got to get used to it. It's fine. I'm okay with that. They actually have, there's apparently a basement bathroom where they go to do their like manly needs.
Man business.
Yes, their man business.
I also don't know if that's coming up right.
That one's fine.
Okay.
I do not go to that bathroom.
No, I can't imagine what that looks
that
like.
That bathroom hasn't been cleaned since 87.
No. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I was born in 87. Anyways.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Feel old.
Yep.
That one's staying in.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you tell us what is the tech startup that you are working for now?
Sure. So, it's called Curalate.
Curalate.
Yes. And it is, so are you familiar with Pinterest?
Yes, I love Pinterest.
Okay,
actually.
Pinterest is wonderful.
I've
so,
been doing it for a month now. My wife is like a hardcore Pinterest.
It is a very girly site, so I think they're
it's
happy
changing.
To have a girl.
It's changing.
Yes.
Keep telling yourself that, Ben. keep
changing.
Telling yourself.
Be strong.
I like Pinterest.
Okay, good. Good. See, Pinterest, it's taken over the world. So we provide brands with monitoring and analytics for Pinterest. So like we partner with somebody like Neiman Marcus and we can give them all of their data, like, you know, this is what people are pinning and this is what people are saying about you, because it's kind of difficult with Pinterest. Like people aren't always mentioning the brand name when they're making comments, and you know, if like the four of us are pinning one beautiful dress onto Pinterest, you know, they wouldn't know that it was four different ones, so we can like compile
Stefan's
information.
Stefan's nodding like this is something
yeah.
he does every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, you know, it's exactly what I just got done doing right before
right.
I came here.
That beautiful dress.
Right.
I'll repin that.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. So.
So we're gonna take one last break and then we'll be right back and we're gonna talk to Stefan Mumau about his talk. Hmm. Also that was already recorded last
already
week.
Already recorded, of course.
Yeah.
And well received.
After that, obviously, a standing ovation that you got at your talk a couple weeks ago at Howe. I mean, you still got to be glowing from the love
yes.
that has been being given.
All nine people stood, but only because that's the only way they could leave.
Now, this is also the first time that Stefan's actually flown in rather than driving
that's
because
right.
he didn't have to carry two dozen pairs of scissors with him
that's
on the
right.
flight, which prohibits... I mean, Ben snuck on a pocket knife, but even Ben couldn't have snuck on a...
Yeah, usually I'm doing a workshop, and that workshop has a lot of arts and crafts materials, mm-hmm. and all those arts and crafts materials are not well-received through TSA. Lots of scissors and X-Acto blades and things.
But this is also one... This location of Howe being in Boston is a little bit further from your home
yeah.
base of Kansas City than
That's
the
right.
other ones were.
That's true. I have driven to every Howe I've been to. This is my eighth Howe. And I've driven to every one except for this. It's the
I
first
know.
Fly-in.
What's the furthest one you drove to?
Furthest one I drove to was Austin. Went Kansas City to Austin. It was 12 hours. And as normal, I brought one of my guys with me, and he one of his side passions is photography. And so I gave him a creative exercise, like I'm known to do. And his creative exercise was that every hour on the hour, we were going to stop the car no matter where we were at. And he was going to have to get out and take the best photo he could take from that location. And so usually that meant the side of the road along a freeway or something like that. And so we're coming on to maybe the sixth or seventh hour. And we're going through Oklahoma City, and we are on this giant curving overpass, and the clock goes off. And I'm in the fast lane, and I pull over to like a median. I drive a Jeep Wrangler. The median's only got to be six feet wide, and he's in the passenger side, and we're on the left-hand side on the, you know, on this like curving overpass. And he's like, "Well, I can't get out because cars are going room, 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 like right by us." And so he's like, "He's got to." I said, "This was the deal." And so he's got to figure
out. How long does he have?
As long as he needs. You know, most of the time he would get out and he'd walk around and he'd find something to take a picture of. Okay. But he couldn't get out of the car, so he rolls down the window and he takes his camera in his hand and he reaches out and goes and pulls his hand back in, and he says, "Whatever that came out to be is what that's going to come out to be." And so we get back, we get up in Austin, and he goes to the photos. He's like, "Steph, check this out." And it was that photo, and just as he had taken that photo, a school bus was driving by with kids. And because he was whipping the camera and taking the shot, it was all blurry, but you can clearly see one kid in the middle with his face pressed up against the window looking at the doofuses who were pulled over to the side of the road on the fast lane. And it was such a beautiful shot. Of all the shots that you kind of go through, it's the sort of surprise shot that ends up being the best one out of everything. So we did a little we called it 12 Hours to Austin, and we did a little exhibit at the office afterwards. That was fun.
We are not giving advice that you should try at home on the freeway or the airport.
There's a lot of bad advice.
Very dangerous.
Except for the Operation Nice advice. Mel, you're giving good advice.
Please be nice.
The three of us do not listen.
Bad advice, yes. Knives through TSA and taking pictures on the freeway. It's probably not good.
The picture, though, does sound fascinating. Is it online somewhere that we can link to this podcast?
I don't think so.
We'll have to mock it up.
Since that's happened.
Let's recreate.
He's gone on to work. Somebody's in St. Louis now. So
we'll do one of Donovan's like face, like looking at a little school.
Let's
bus.
Reenact what we believe all 12 of these were. We'll do that tonight. So what is your actual talk about? Is it about just pulling over on the side of the freeway?
Yes, that's the whole talk. It's going to last about 5 minutes, and then I'm just going to take questions.
Love it.
I'm doing two talks this year. I'm doing one for in-house called In-House Inspiration, Generate Ideas in Greater Quantity and Quality. And then I'm doing one called Chasing the Monster Idea for How to Design Life.
And that's based on your book, Chasing the Monster Idea.
That's correct.
Do they have to buy the book in order to, is this just a way to sell like 20
bucks? I really should have made it a requirement. Now that I think about it, I should have said everyone coming has to buy the book. But then again, those nine people.
Maybe not yet. Maybe less than nine.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Are you guys signing posters again like you did?
I actually brought the posters. I still had a stack of them when I had a
printer. We've got one hanging in the office. You got a hammer press, letter press, a poster that Vaughn Glitchke illustrated for your Chasing the Monster.
That's right. So anyone that buys a book in the bookstore will get a poster. And then I'll give a whole bunch to Nina. Nina provided the paper so they can have it at their booths. And they can find me or Vaughn and we can sign them for them.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
You guys all missed this, but it
was
great.
Yeah, you did.
I have a signed poster and I love it. I appreciate that. So you're also helping Vaughn with his workshop?
I am. Vaughn's doing a workshop called Anatomy of a Logo. And he's going through the logo design process from start to finish, not just from a technical standpoint, but really from a client standpoint, like interviewing the client, how to ask the right questions to make sure you get all the information you need to know, how to deal with response to the logo as you go through from an identity standpoint, and I'm helping him with that.
That's great. Is this the first time that Vaughn's done this, or is this a new workshop?
No, I'm not sure he's done this workshop for How before. I don't know if he's done it before in general, but I don't think he's done this workshop for How before.
And how did you get wrangled into it?
Vaughn calls me up and says, "Hey, I need someone to play the client because we're going to have a fake client, and I need someone to play the client." And so I asked him, do you want Stefan to play the client?
You're dressed in the revolutionary suit you're
exactly.
wearing now, right?
So, or do you want me to be in character to play the client? And, of course, Vaughn wants me to be in character. So,
what is the character?
The character's name is Sven Fargané. Sven Fargané makes a series of men's colognes with a very simple premise that men wear cologne for the 1% of other people who smell them. But the reality is 99% of the time, men just smell themselves. So why not make cologne that men want to smell?
So like bacon?
Like bacon.
Okay. And what does Sven, what was your last name?
Sven Fargane.
What does Sven Fargane look like? Like what is this costume
Sven,
here?
Sven is a very wealthy Swedish individual who has a lot of chest hair.
Okay.
A great deal of chest hair.
And flowing how, golden locks.
And flowing golden mullet locks.
And how, well, like when you say a lot of chest hair, this implies to me that how far down does he unbutton the jacket?
It's a very good point. The amount of unbutton really comes into the amount of gag reflex that you get from most people when they see it. So one button is just a little bit of gag. Two and three, you're beginning to get into a lot of gag. And so I want to get to.
Are you even wearing a shirt?
Yes, yay-ish. I mean, yeah.
More great advice from Stefan. You know, this is great.
This is good. It's fine.
I think I've had that client. That might be one of the best clients I've ever had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So lots and lots of.
Are there gold? Is there gold chains?
No, there's no gold chains.
Okay.
No, because it would get lost in the chest hair anyway. And things would get matted. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be braiding most of the chest hair to begin with.
Tangled too.
Yeah, tangled
coming to theaters.
This is the reason you come to these things, because you just don't see that.
Not that you necessarily want to, but
that's a good point.
I mean, each to his own, I guess.
But it's going to be authentic. Well, we've got two more things before we wrap the show up. Mm-hmm. The first one is, where do people go? Now you just moved.
Rain has dissolved. Yes, dissolved. My agency has my own agency was a soul crushing day job, and I squished it, and so I have moved on to Callahan Creek, which is a small ad agency in Lawrence, where University of Kansas is. And I work with Tug McTighe. If anyone knows Tug McTighe, he's fantastic, creative director.
And where do people go to follow both you and Mel?
Well, for me, they can go on Facebook to Purveyor of All That Rocks. That's my Facebook page, or they can go at Stefan Muma on Twitter.
Okay.
And I'm at Operation Nice, and I tweet a lot. So
you have been warned.
Enjoy.
You have been warned.
And our last question is, we're playing a game of having the guests ask the question to the next people, since we actually have these lined up. And so our next guest is Ricardo Crespo. He's one of the creative guy over at Fox, 20th Century Fox. And before that, he was... I think he was the creative director of Mattel. So do you have any questions for Ricardo based on anything at all? I mean, we do not care.
What was the worst toy idea that came across his desk? The type of toy idea that you go, how did this get to me? I don't know if he saw the toy ideas. I don't know if it came through him, but I can't imagine that he didn't get a portion of Mattel's toy ideas.
I mean, probably whatever I sent him. I didn't even know who he was when I was just emailing these. But we'll see if that works up. And Mel, what do you have for Ricardo?
Well, since that was such a good question, I'm just going to go with, how does he feel about excessive chest hair?
That will be interesting to find out.
We may not like the answer, but, you know, it's not all about us, is it?
No, it's not. We really appreciate both your times. And listeners, we really thank you for listening. If you have comments, questions, you want to chime in on what you feel about chest hair, 36point.com.
That's right. Thanks for being on the show, you guys.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay.